Welcome to Croxley Green Baptist Church Sermon Podcast.
Today we have a passage of scripture with two interwoven strands. They weave together throughout this passage. One talks about family relationships, the other talks about the relationship of Christ with his church. They're interwoven, but they can't really be separated. We are part of God's family, as Alan has already said. And sometimes when we think of God's relationship with the church, it's a big, vague concept. But like a nation or a town or a village, the church is made up of individual people. And so it comes down to the fact of our own personal relationship with Christ and with each other. I wonder if there's a possibility that we have sometimes concentrated so much on the fact that wives must submit to their husbands, and we have forgotten or glossed over the other part of this reading. It's been that in my experience. I don't know, it might have been something different for you. But we read that we are to submit to one another, and then wives must submit to their husbands. That word submit, does it jar on you? And yet there are many other verses in the Bible that we're quite happy to accept. Romans 12, verse 10, in the Authorized Version, would read, in honour preferring one another. Or in the New International Version, it says, honour one another above yourselves. In John 13, verse 34, we read, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Treat others as you would like to be treated. Love your neighbour as you love yourself. We can accept those verses. But when it comes to the word submit, it seems to have a different connotation. But does it really? It does not mean by submitting to one another or wives to husbands that we become a doormat. Nor does it mean that we are a puppet on a string to be led and guided and danced to the will of the other person. Our Saviour gave us an excellent example, as he does in all ways. We read that he submitted to the will of the Father. He said, I only do the things I see my Father do. I only speak the things I hear my Father speak. Did that make him a lesser person? In no way. It made him a better person. He submitted to the will of God because he knew it was the only way for us to have complete salvation, full, rich, and free salvation. The human side of him wrestled in the Garden of Gethsemane with the horrors that faced him. But he was able to say, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And so we honour Christ when we follow his example. We put our needs, our wishes, our desires on the back burner, to make sure that the person we are with at that moment of time is looked after, is cared for, their needs are met. That it's not always me, 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 I want, but it's what do you want, what do you need? And so we follow Christ's example, putting his will before our own, respecting others. Philippians 2 verse 10 tells us that one day every knee will bow before the name of Jesus Christ. For he is the Lord and by bowing to him, glory is given to God the Father. That will be submission on a big scale. How wonderful that we're already practicing that, we're already doing that, because we love him, we bend our knees in worship, we submit our will to him, because we know his way is best. He does not give us anything that will harm us, just as you would not give a cook's knife with an 8-inch sharp blade to a 3-year-old to play with. God will not answer your prayers if what you're asking for will damage you. We read that every good and perfect gift comes from above. It's the other fellow who comes around seeking to destroy, to kill, to steal. But God only wants the best for his people. And so we already this morning have bowed the knee. But for those who one day will have to do it, what a day that will be, submission. And then we read in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? He gave himself up for her. Why? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. What a picture. That's why Christ gave himself. But history looks at the church and sees a very different story. The church does have bloodstains, where it fought on religious grounds and killed people because they didn't agree quite the same as the church did at that time. There are blemishes of sinful behaviour. There are wrinkles as the church has looked for earthly gains. And so when history and the cynic looks at the church, they say, but that's not what Christ died for. That's not what he gave his life for. But Christ sees a different story. He sees his people ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, filled with a newness of life, enabled to live a holy, pure life because Christ lives within us. History says one thing, God says another. So how does this relationship of Christ with his people work out? Made up of individuals, as we've already said, an individual relationship. And we can see Christ's relationship with his people in many ways. First of all, we see him as a shepherd, caring for his flock, leading them gently to pastures, green pastures, good pastures, leading them to still waters where they can drink and be satisfied. A shepherd who will leave the 99 safe and go looking for that one lost one. And he will carry it all the way home. There are some of us who need to be carried all the way home. In John 15, the relationship is described as being a vine and us being the branches. Grafted into him, fed by him, so that we might bear fruit, not those blemishes, not those wrinkles, but fruits of holiness, of joy, of peace, of love, long-suffering, patience. That's what Christ came to give us. When we are truly grafted into him, we live in him, he lives in us, a total union. Jesus is our great high priest, we're told. You can read in Exodus 28, verse 29, Aaron the priest shall bring the names of the sons of Israel in continued remembrance before the Lord. That was the task of the high priest in those days. Our high priest continually brings your name and my name before the Father and says, look, Father, here's one of your children, redeemed, made spotless, made holy. Christ is likened to the cornerstone, and we are the building stones linked into him to form a magnificent building, a solid structure. Those, we're told, who fall on this stone will be broken. Pride, selfishness, self-will, all destroyed by this stone, the living Christ. But those on whom the stone falls will be crushed. Better for us to trip over the stone than to have it fall upon us. He is the head, with many members to his body. All have a unique position, just as the parts of our body do. All have a function. And when one hurts, all of us hurts. When one part fails, we are not whole. But united in Christ, with him as our head, then we grow strong and we are useful. We are unique. We each have a purpose. And we look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We're told that Christ is the last Adam, a new creation. As in Adam all die, so in Christ, the new Adam, all will be made alive. The first Adam became a living being when God breathed his spirit into him. The last Adam is a life-giving spirit. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And then there is the bridegroom and the bride. A man and his wife, the two will become flesh, we read. And we can understand that. But then Paul goes on to say, this is a profound mystery. And I'm talking about the Christ and his church. The two shall become one. We are one in Christ, he in us, and we in him. What a glorious union. I am his, and he is mine. What a relationship is ours, as we're part of the living Christ, and he is part of us. So what do we conclude from all of this? We are equal in partnership, one with each other, all unique, all with our own job to do, all with our own special giftings. We are all important. There is no just anyone in God's kingdom. Oh, I'm just a housewife. I'm just a stay-at-home mum, or these days it could be a stay-at-home dad. I'm just a road sweeper, and for many of us here, I'm just a pensioner. No, you're not just anything. You're a child of God. You belong to him. You're in his family. I always get excited when I prepare to lead a service, and God gives me thoughts and ideas, and I come and I lead the service, and I sit down and I listen to the sermon, and sure enough, out of that sermon comes bits and pieces that God gave me and I've already mentioned or referred to. We have a great, wonderful God, and he's done it again this morning. Alan began with those verses where he read, God sets the lonely in families. And that's what I already had down to finish with. We are set in God's family. We are family disciples.